episode of Tell Black People About Law School. We are two first-generation cis-black women who became friends while attending T-Pain Law School. And we're here to share things that we wish we knew or things we wish people talked about when we were in law school. This is just our perspective based on our experiences. So we're back. If you've been a loyal listener, we appreciate you. And if you weren't, we hope you go back and listen to some of our older episodes. But either way, you may notice that there was a little gap, a little bit of time in between this episode's publication date and the 2023 publication date of our last episode. And so we kind of wanted to talk about what happened and talk about why. We think this is an important conversation to have, not just to let you as listeners know why we didn't record, but also just to talk about things that happened in our relationship and how they overall reflect sometimes in experiences of Black women and how our learning lessons from that time inform how we want to show up for both one another and other Black women in the future.
Yeah. And so, I also just not to put too much of a dark cloud on it, you were in Paris and there was a time difference for half of the semester.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So last semester I was in Paris. So like that's part of it. There's a 7-hour time difference. Six or seven hours.
And like, yeah, you should have just been eating bread and cheese and duck fat. You said that.
And now every day, every single day.
We'll talk about that later because I'm sure people want to hear about it. But I agree. We had tension in our friendship that I think was showing up in our recordings. And as the person who like does a lot of the editing, I noticed it, and I think it didn't feel good. And I think even outside of like this podcast, our relationship had changed, and that didn't feel good to me either because you're very important to me. And I think something that I'm really grateful that we did is like address the tension and talk about what was going on and just cleared the air.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you summarize it very well. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So essentially, this isn't the Basketball Wives of podcast. Nothing against Basketball Wives. I love reality television. But we're not two very combative people. I think that you taught me something. You've taught me a lot of things, but I think you've taught me a lot in terms of like not necessarily just like conflict resolution, but like being able to like confront things that are in front of you. What was in front of us?
I think it was like we both held, for transparency, we both held leadership positions, multiple leadership positions at school, both our 2L year and our 3L year. And I think I felt that at one point we were like at odds with each other on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. And it was clouding for me. It was clouding like how I interacted with you. And the biggest way that that showed for me is that I wasn't able to be vulnerable around you because I felt that there was this tension. And I was like, well, I don't, and not saying you put this on me, but I was like, well, I don't want to tell her these things because what if she like weaponizes them or what if she uses them to her advantage? And it was less about you, but more of like the tension. Like, I think I just lost the ability to be, I can't think of a better word than vulnerable. And no, it makes me sad to like think about it.
I know, it makes me so sad because there's like, I think about moments. Sometimes I think about moments that like you had over like the time that we weren't as close, and I'm like, oh, we didn't share those moments. But I think that that's a great way to put it. And on my end, I think that there had been, I started feeling like you were in competition with me. And it really put me in a place, and I'm not like used to that. Like I'm not like, and you're not either. I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think
Wait,
that's
not
how
used to
you.
competition
No,
or like
like
being competitive.
competitive with your friends.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that there came a point where I was like, are we in competition with one another? Because like I don't compete with my friends, and like it's like it also, like you said, like not being vulnerable, it puts you in a place where like if I'm a competitor, like if we're competitors, then like how does that work with also being friends? And it didn't work, obviously, but we also weren't competitors. So I think it just, I think we both just left. And I've said this before to you when we talked, but I think we just left both not seeing the good in one another and not necessarily reading the other with positive intent. And so it was like every little action or every little move was kind of like questioned or like guarded in a way, because we were both like, what are we doing here? Are we competing? Are we, you know, are they out to get me? I don't think we thought that far. Like it wasn't like a Tonya Harding situation,
No.
just, you know, just constantly like not feeling like, I think we had prior to this and now after this like a very like comfortable relationship with one another.
I
Like I
loved our
just, we
friendship.
feel it, I love it, it's
I love,
current.
yes, sorry, yes. I love
No,
our friendship now, but like,
yeah, there's always prior to this and after this there's a sense of ease to it that wasn't there during
Well, I
that
want
time.
to thank you for being willing to have this conver like to have the conversation. And I know we talked before we recorded this, and it was like, it's funny to me that we gave ourselves an hour and a half warm up where we just
Yeah,
caught
we
up on
just talked
life
about things.
and then we got into it. But I think something that one of our deans said that really stuck with me and something I've never thought about, and I've said this before, but I guess it's relevant. So when I was dating or like trying to date, one guy asked me, he was like, oh, do you, or do, how do you handle conflict? And I was like, oh, like I'm actually. What's the word when you, I can't think of it. It's very simple, but like I welcome conflict. And he was kind of thrown back by that. And the reason I bring this up is because the dean, we actually resolved part of our conflict for context in front of one of our deans who I view as a mentor. I don't want to speak for you, but
Oh yeah,
she was very,
absolutely. And she
she's a,
kind of like tricked us into resolving it. She was like, "Oh, you two happen to be here at the same time.
And she was
Close
like, you guys, she was like, you
the
guys are better together.
door."
And we are like, there's so many instances where we are brainstorming something or we're talking about something and you're saying something and I'm building on what you're saying, or like you add to
Absolutely.
my thoughts so well. And it's such a gift to have another woman, let alone like another Black woman, to be able to like have that shared experience with. But going back to conflict, when we were addressing our conflict in front of her, she said that from where she was sitting, it was like, hey, like I didn't love this. And the other one was like, oh, I'm sorry that like I did that. Like I my perspective was this. And it's like, oh, I understand that. That makes sense. But you know, I'm more comfortable with this. And she said she had never seen conflict resolved in such a feminine way. And not to gender like the conflict resolution aspect of it, but I had never thought about that. And I guess I hate doing this, but if you do think of it as kind of like this binary, if you are viewing conflict that is like aggressive and loud and harsh as masculine, like that is not how I view resolution with people. It is a conversation. It's more of like, hey, what's happening? I think I even text you. I was like, hey, there's like space between us, and I don't like that. Like, I don't want there to be that space between us.
And
I
I
see.
was really relieved to get that text. Like it had been on my mind for a very long time, but I just didn't know how to, like, I told you this. I'm a runner. Like, I'm not usually like, you've helped me become like a person who resolves conflict. But prior to you, I would have just been like, oh, Kara was a great friend I had one time. And I would have
No.
always, like, I would have mourned this relationship forever, but I just would have just ran.
Well, I'm glad we worked things out, and I hope in the future, and maybe hopefully this will inspire someone, but Conflict doesn't have to be this like big, bad, scary thing, but I think it does
Exactly.
require humility and an ability to recognize how you contributed to a situation. And if you are somebody that is like, I didn't contribute at all, I would say pause and reflect because it takes two people to talk. And
Exactly.
if you really didn't contribute at all, then that person's probably not your friend. But
Exactly.
for the most part, I think I really appreciate that we both sat down and were like, this is how I felt in a very honest, vulnerable way. And this is how I may have contributed to it. Because I think a lot of the time when there was tension between us, I was reacting to how I thought you were moving instead of just being like, hey, like, this is how this is coming across to me. Like, am I misreading the situation? Like, what's happening here? And I think both of us, to your point, and you've said it very eloquently before, like, we weren't hearing each other. And we were making assumptions on what each other was feeling and moving based off of those assumptions. But there's no ill intent. Like, I love you. Like, you
Exactly. I
are
love
a
you
dear
too.
friend to me. And
Exactly. Same.
I should trust, one, I should trust that I wouldn't like attach myself to somebody who's out to get
Exactly.
me. And two, I should trust that like you are a good person with a beautiful soul and you
Thank
wouldn't
you.
do some of the things, some of like the narrative I think I created is like, no, that's not even Sydney. Like, what is
Exactly. And the same for you. I think it was just like I had, and like, you know how they say like absence makes the heart grow fonder? Like, not that I was less fond of you, I was still very fond of you, but it was just like absence for our situation just kind of made the narrative get weird because it was just like I didn't have interactions with you really anymore to like back up what I knew was true. Like, this is her, this is who she is. And then once like I got in it, I was like, oh, that's not, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because I just wasn't backing it up with any experiences, because you get so clouded, and being in law school, you get so jaded that you're like, you start questioning things, start questioning yourself, and you forget what's true, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's important to give people the benefit of the doubt
Yeah,
sometimes
absolutely.
and give
Not
people grace.
everyone, but
Not,
people
I mean,
who no, I'm not trying to stop you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have just jumped
no,
as
you're
it. Not
okay.
everyone. But I just want to say, like, just to speak to who you are, like, I'm not going to give everybody grace and everybody the benefit of the doubt, but someone who's shown me to be a very good person, I should definitely give them the benefit of the doubt, and who's never shown me anything but like positivity and like helps me grow as a person. Like, I just regret like ever having like a moment of like, oh, questioning you in any way, you know?
Same, same.
So, but that's not to say that everybody shouldn't give everybody the benefit of doubt. I think you can give everybody the benefit of doubt, but this isn't an everybody the benefit of the doubt kind of situation. You're not just everybody. And I think that it was like very particular that we were in a space of like just not seeing each other for who we truly are.
And I think that goes into like valuing other Black women, like there aren't a lot of us in this space at all. And when you find like good people who are going to back you and like add to you and help you on this journey, I think it's very important to hold on to them. And I'm really happy
Exactly.
that we have resolved on our conflict. Something that came to mind when we were thinking about like the dynamics between Black women is the dynamics between some of our professors, because one of our professors has come to, so there are three professors, Black women, three Black women professors at our school. And I have had classes with two of them specifically. And one of them said that she heard students in the hallway comparing her and the other professor. And she's like, yeah, I hear you guys talking about who's the Blacker professor, who's the better
That's
professor.
ridiculous.
And it made me sad. Well, first off, I was like, that's not me I can talk about. She was like, not you. She's like, but I hear students saying these things. And it did make me think about how maybe a lot of it, I don't know, in our, I haven't reflected on this specifically, but there can be external forces that pit Black people and Black women against each other. Like, who's the better Black? Or how does this Black person
Exactly.
compare to the other one? And it's not about that. Like, we are our own
No.
respective people, and we have we each have our strengths, and it shouldn't be about comparison. And it just made me sad to know that this is something that almost seems unavoidable, but I think on a very personal level, I want to get away from that, viewing other Black women in any kind of competitive or comparative light.
Exactly. And I think just like you and I think it's not to be a political slogan or anything, but I think it's better together. I think it really, because I think that Black women are incredible. And I think that we are often the best part of anything that we're a part of. And I think that when we're able to combine that, it's even better. It's just there's so much beauty when it all comes together, and I think of the Black woman dean we were talking about who set us down and was like, let's talk. I think about her and I think about how a lot of times she's kind of had to operate alone somewhat, is like the lone Black woman in a lot of these rooms and spaces. And I think about how we, at least in law school and at least in the challenges that we faced, we didn't have to do that. And I think that the two of us personally made it where a lot of other Black students didn't have to do that either. And I think that that speaks to just how incredible it is to work together. I think you and I especially were very good during law school at, but hearing the pain points that other Black students were going through and being like, okay, let me take your pain point or let me take you and let's go figure this out,
And
And oh, go ahead.
go
No,
ahead.
go.
I think we both I definitely find joy in that. And I actually got
I do too.
offended one time because somebody was like, you don't do anything that doesn't serve you. And I was like, ooh, I was like, that's not true. Like a lot of the things that I try to advocate for don't serve me. Like we're not getting
Exactly.
paid to do this. The whole reason that we wanted to start this podcast was to like just get information out there because I don't know about you, but I feel like I had to work so hard to get basic information that maybe was being overlooked by like professors or like faculty or services and resources. And I was like, why is this so hard? And part of the joy of sharing it is knowing that we're making it easier, or like, yeah, we're making it easier for other people because you don't have to go through the like digging that we went through to get this information. It's already there.
Exactly,
And hopefully other
exactly.
people can continue to build on that.
I totally agree. And I think that law school, law, and a lot of predominantly white spaces are really good in making not just Black women, but people in general feel like they have to suffer alone. And I think that you don't. And I think that our relationship and the type of work that we tried to foster was to show that everything's better in community, especially when you're a Black woman in this space, this law, this field, this school, this everything that wasn't designed for you. Having and actually is very much designed not for you to succeed. Having someone else who may be going through a similar experience who can tell you things that have helped them along the way. You can tell them things that have helped you along the way, or just literally just commiserate sometimes is very, very powerful. Very powerful.
I agree. And I think just to clarify, like, I don't think everyone needs to be best friends, but I think that there's value in seeing other people who may go be sharing like a common struggle. Just
Exactly.
with based on like for us, it's based on how we look. And I'm not gonna act like I'm best friends with every Black person at our
I'm not.
school,
I'll say it right now.
but I do, there's like a certain level of respect that I have for them. And maybe that's because we do go to a PWI. And the experience is different at like a HBCU, but especially at a PWI. I'm like, the fact that you are even here, like, I respect you for that. We may not share the same opinions on a lot of
On
things.
anything.
You have
Sorry.
someone specific in mind, but
I
it's
do.
like, I respect you. I want you to succeed, and whatever I can do to like help you in your success, like, I am happy to help. As long as it's like not something that hurts me in the process, you know, self-preservation, but like I do want to see people succeed. And if I can contribute to that success, if I can help, why wouldn't I? That's like one of my
Exactly.
life mottos. But
Exactly. And I just think of, like you said, it's just like not every black person's for every black person, but there is a sense of camaraderie, and there's a sense of like we're all like, not to get all High School Musical, but we're all in this together. And
And we are better together.
exactly. And so I just think that I'm glad we were able to drown out the noise. I don't even think there was any noise though, 'cause like I personally never had anybody in my ear being like, that girl,
No, it was really just between us. I didn't
Yeah,
talk to
I didn't talk to
anyone.
anybody
That's
about
also
it.
not how I really operate in close friendships. Like, I have a
Mm-mm.
riff. I'm not going to go to, I, that's just not how I operate, because it's like a one-on-one, and I have too much respect for you to
Exactly.
have
And not
our.
only that, but I was always hoping we'd come back together. And so I was like, I'm not gonna talk crap about her because that's gonna be my friend again one
Yeah.
day.
Like, in my world, I hope that you are around through the best of my days and the worst
Exactly.
of my days.
And
And something
same.
I've said before that I really want, like, you are magnificent as a person, and you are just so wonderful. And by not being able to recognize the light in you, it's almost like an inability to recognize something in myself. Because if I
Stop.
can't recognize that another Black woman, especially, is like awesome, then I have something internally going on.
That's
I quote,
really
should I quote Cardi B again?
you can call Cardi B, please, because I was like tearing up and I think so.
But she said, she's like, if you see a woman who is on her shit and like doing
Oh
her thing,
yeah,
you
that's
need to
tough.
figure out how to get close to her. Like, and I think
Exactly.
some people have an inclination to like hate on her and be like, oh, like, who does she think she is? And like, that should never be the initial reaction. You should be like, I see you doing your thing. And that's an admiration. Like, you should be friends with people who you admire. And I admire so much
Yeah.
about you.
And I love being friends with people who not only I admire, but like other people admire. Like I never want to introduce somebody to my friend and have them be like, oh, she's not it. Like, she's not the vibe. And and no, for real. Like, I admire you a lot. And I think you have a light that shines through. And I think that anybody who meets you is like automatically like, wow.
I'm like, oh, that's a bell hooks quote. She says, when you let your light shine through, you are automatically drawn to other bearers of light, and that you
Yeah.
know you're not alone in this struggle.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that something that like this is very base level, and I don't think I've ever told you this before, but like we are both always smiling most of the time.
You're always smiling, you're
And
always laughing.
same for you. You might not think so, but you are. And I
In
think
my mind, I'm
that
a grouch.
you're not. I think you're like the worst grouch ever then. Like, what's the opposite of Oscar? You're
Big Bird.
like, yeah, you're literally like Elmo, Big Bird, Zoe.
That's
You're
funny.
like, you're the opposite of a grouch. And I think that I think that that's not an ag coincidence that we're like linked, because I think we're both always just like trying to see the best or the most positive thing in a situation or in a scenario, but like we're very realistic too. I don't think we're like too like
No.
out there.
I have been described as painfully optimistic, but no, I'm not like, I mean,
I
I
don't
know
think you're
when,
like,
if there's lightning and thunder, I'm not like, oh, it's not gonna rain.
Yeah, like you would never
Like,
be like you're aware. Like you're
yeah.
never gonna be like, oh,
Same with you.
this no, let's just do it. Like, oh, there are so many cars coming. We can cross though. Like that's not you at all. But I think I say all that to say that I think it's really important, not just like for Black women, but especially for Black women, that when you find somebody who's good, and you all are not just friends, but you all are working together and you all are doing things together, I think it's really important to like make sure that you're not clouding that relationship with any like thing that's nonsensical or doesn't make sense. Like, be clear, have clarity, but like always remember that like we're all human, and I think that like somebody might be going through something and that's different, but I think that we kind of were just like, I know this is just who they are. And that's it. That's the end of that. And so I think that this taught me a lot for sure. Like I said, I used to be a runner, so I think it's helping me with conflict resolution a lot and being willing to just like own up to like, this is how I'm feeling right now.
And
This
you,
is
yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Go ahead. That's all I was gonna say. Is this, I was gonna make up more words that were synonyms to feeling.
And you've created a space where I feel like I can communicate how I'm feeling and it not
Oh,
be
thank
like,
you.
and it'd be like, welcome to constructive. So we just wanted to share with you all what happened instead of pretending like nothing happened. 'Cause as you have said, we were gone enough time to like have a couple kids. So we thought this was
Yeah, that's
necessary.
true. I forgot about that. I forgot about that. But yeah, so on a lighter note, that was light. On a lighter, even lighter note, we're like trying to introduce a new segment. I don't know how well it's gonna work. But it's gonna be amazing. Actually, I shouldn't say I don't know how well it's gonna work. It's gonna be amazing. And the idea of this new segment is the law is around us all the time. There's so much law, so little order. And thank you for laughing at
This
that.
is good.
And we just want to talk about it. We're going to talk about what's in the news. We're not lawyer. We graduated from law school, but we are not licensed yet. So
Yeah,
anything that we say,
we're both
yeah.
studying for the bar right now, full transparency. And
Exactly.
that's all we're
And
going to say about that.
from this point until the end of this podcast, anything we say on here is not legal advice and should not be taken as such. But we do want to talk about some legal topics, in a fun manner. Again, not legal advice, should not be taken as such.
And same for me. I'm not giving any legal advice.
Yes, that's a disclaimer for both of us.
Yes.
So what do we want to talk about today?
Well, isn't the idea behind the segment is like things that we saw or like things that we learned that are interesting. We don't have a name for it, as you already said, but if you all have ideas for names, we are happy to take them. Email us.
Or the
But
ideas for things.
yes. Something that I liked what you shared about, so recently former guy Trump
Foreigner orange in charge.
he was charged on what, how many? It was like 34.
Yeah, he was indicted on and convicted of
34 counts. Was it 34? I don't want to make things up, but you shared some
yes, he
really.
was convicted of he is a convicted felon, has been convicted of 34 felonies
That's
as
not bad.
of May 2024, for his New York State hush money criminal trial, based on falsified business records in an effort to conceal hush money that he paid to Stormy Daniels, a former person he had intimate relations with. Essentially, we were going to talk about what that means, and what do we do with that now? So, essentially, he has been convicted, but he's not in jail. And why isn't he in jail, you might
Why is
ask?
that?
Well, You don't go to jail right after you get convicted most of the time. Now, usually if you are charged with a like violent crime, they might hold you, or if you're like a flight risk, they may hold you over
Meaning that you
until,
plan to like run away.
yeah, exactly. And you can't, and you have the means to run away, or you have shown that you will run away. They will hold you until you are actually given your sentence, or aka how long you're going to be in jail. But I guess they don't consider him a flight risk because like anybody would know where he went.
He has a very distinct look.
Yeah, and he has pretty expensive lawyers, though not that good, I guess, because he was convicted. But he has pretty expensive lawyers, so they were able to convince the judge to let him stay out of jail until he waits for his sentencing. But his sentencing might not even be jail time. So, essentially, in July, I believe they said, right before he's set to be announced as the Republican National Committee's nominee for president, I believe the day before, he will find out what his sentence is going to be. He's facing either jail time or a really large fine. It depends on what New York State is going to offer him. And then somebody might ask, okay, he's a convicted felon. That sounds good. So he can't be president anymore, right? And it's like, actually, no, he can actually be president, which is unfortunate. And in many states, oh, go
He's
ahead.
the first president that is a convicted felon in, or a
He
former
is.
president that is a
He
convicted
is.
felon.
Not maybe not the first who should have been, but
Right.
he's the first that is. No, he definitely should have been convicted. I just mean like others should have been convicted too. I don't
No,
want
I hear you.
anybody to
I got you.
misconstrue. But he, yeah, so he's a convicted felon, but he can still run for president, and still unfortunately be president, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says he can't, and Congress has not passed any measures that says that he can't. And we know this Congress won't. And so
I think it's kind of
essentially,
funny.
and depending on the state, that determines whether he can vote for himself or not. And luckily,
Florida, that's, oh, sorry.
no, go ahead. Go ahead. Say what you're gonna
No,
say.
I just got excited because you shared this with me and I didn't know that, but Black people in Florida have worked for, like, worked to allow felons to vote because most people who are, you know, most people who are in jail are Black, unfortunately.
Yes. And so, as
Or
long as
prison,
he's
excuse me.
not actually incarcerated at the time of, but well, actually, I just learned something new. If he's incarcerated, he can't vote at all because you can't vote while you're incarcerated, unfortunately. But also, I learned choice of law. He can't vote in Florida, because under the Florida law, a registered voter, back check, a registered voter in Florida with a felony conviction in New York, their ability to vote is determined by the law of the state in which they are convicted. He is convicted in New York, and because New York voting rules on the question of felony voting, they would have to defer to New York. And
Nice.
in New York, under Florida laws, as a convicted felon, you can vote once you complete the terms of your sentence, thanks to the work of a lot of voting rights advocates, a lot of Black people, a lot of Black women, a lot of Black people who have worked very hard to restore the right to vote to a lot of people who were convicted of felonies in Florida, and were denied that right. But a felony and a conviction in another state can make a person ineligible to vote in Florida if that conviction would make that person ineligible to vote in the state that they are in. So under New York, in New York law, a voter does not lose their right to vote until or unless they are actually incarcerated serving a sentence of a felony conviction. So really, his ability to vote, it turns on whether or not he is incarcerated. And it looks pretty unlikely that they're going to incarcerate him, but hey, you never know. But it's up in the air whether he can vote or not.
It's so interesting. And I know a
Thank you,
lot of
Reuters.
people. I know a lot of people. We shouldn't be throwing out names. We're not sponsored yet.
Well, I just want to like, for so if people are like, that's not true, go to Reuters, don't go to me. Don't come to our inbox with that.
But a lot of people had questions about it, so I'm glad you addressed it.
Yeah, and so but New York does have a law that they passed, so he can probably vote regardless because New York law has a right to vote for formerly incarcerated people with a felony conviction if they are post release supervision on parole or out of prison. So he can probably be able to vote, but he will not be able to vote if he is incarcerated on election day.
Something I'm curious about, and if someone does know the answer, please feel free to email us. But I wonder if he goes to like regular prison with everyone else who's incarcerated, or if there's like a special prison that high profile people get sent to.
So I'm actually very curious about that too, because this is a state. This is a New York state thing. So like usually when high profile people go to prison, it's a felony or not a felony, it's a federal charge. So like Martha Stewart, I don't know if you watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, but like the Giudice family, Giudice, however they choose to say it. Martha Stewart, the Giudices, Elizabeth Holmes, those kind of people. Those were all federal charges. And so they were high profile people who were charged in or convicted of federal crimes. So they actually went to like these cushy like camps, as they call it. They're still prison, but essentially it's not like what you see on TV. It's not the Oz or
Interesting.
anything. It's not what you see on TV. So that's interesting. But for him, it's New York State, so I don't know where he will end up.
TBD.
So we'll find out. We'll be tuned. We'll check back in with y'all. We'll talk about it again. But now that's the end of our episode, and we just
Please send us anything you would like for us to discuss or any questions you have. You can email us at two, spelled like the number, blacklawyers@gmail.com. We appreciate you all.
thank you.
Thank you. Stay black.
Huh.
I'm back. I'm back.